You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you once again an episode of our Transform Masters program. This time it's a behind the scenes listen to what happened when Kylie Davis from CoreLogic dropped in to give our group some data-based insights. First up, to do with the recent real estate leadership research program that the company has just done, as well as giving the guys some insights as to what's happening in their local areas by going into some detail with them personally on their own market share reports. So what are some of the takeaways that you can look forward to from this episode? Well, there's lots actually. The research found incredibly that there was a direct correlation between agency profitability and leadership skill. That's right, the better the leader you are, the more profitable your business is. However, the problem is that there's a bit of a disconnect in that our leaders see themselves quite differently to the way their teams see them. Well, at least in the research that CoreLogic presented, that's the case. But from this and the analysis that Kylie gave, you might be able to pick up some areas where you can tweak your skills as a leader and change your approach and your business for the better. In terms of reporting insights, we know that many agents are having problems with quantities of stock right now, i.e. many people are reporting a shortage of listings. With these reports, our leaders were able to see who in the area might be buying listings, what type of properties were most likely to be rented in the area, which is good for introducing the PM department to prospective purchasers, and also pinpointing with some accuracy which adjoining postcodes might be the best to expand into. Here's Kylie.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I'm going to kick off with just a little bit of an overview on some new research that CoreLogic's bringing out right now that Tanja Jones and I were working on over the last close to a year. So it's our Real State of Leadership report, which looks at what does leadership look like in the real estate industry and what can we learn from that about the kind of leaders we are and what we should be doing to improve our leadership style. So to kick off, the first thing is that we defined leadership by your ability to influence people and their efforts towards achieving organisational objectives. So there's a million different definitions of leadership out there, but the way that we've defined it for as the purpose of this report is how good are you at getting stuff done through other people and achieving what you want to achieve in your life and in your business by rallying other people around you. It's a kind of well-known definition. So what we found through the research is absolutely fundamentally is that those who excel at leadership have the most profitable businesses. So we've surveyed over 500 people within this study, and there's an absolute correlation between some key leadership or a lot of the key leadership elements and then how well you perform financially. And then the last bit is that what we're seeing is that real estate's now a team sport. So the days of, the lone wolf or the rock star agent carrying everyone behind him on commissions and just everyone earning commissions and eating their young to get those commissions, those days are over. What we're moving into now is a real estate industry that is a lot more collaborative, that has team goals, that everyone is motivated to achieving success for the business and through that success for themselves. So here's why good leadership is important, because it leads to financial success. We know that fundamentally, because it leads to business growth, which is part of what ensures your financial success. Staff stability is a really important part of leadership. If you have stable staff who are performing well and are performing really efficiently, then your business will thrive. And personal goals, because a lot of us have ambitions to be good leaders. We find it fulfilling or it's nice to be thought of as inspiring. But what we find in the industry is a lot of people kind of focus on that more than some of the other parts of leadership. And so here's one of the kind of key takeouts, that leadership is actually hard work. It's not a reward. You don't get to be the leader just because you're the tallest person in the room or the longest standing in there. You have to earn leadership, and leadership comes from behaviour. So we're going to look at some of those behaviours. We wanted to find out how good the leadership is in real estate. So a couple of years ago, CoreLogic first asked vendors what they thought of real estate agents. Then last year, we asked buyers what they thought of real estate agents. So this year, we thought it would be a great idea to ask real estate agents what they think of real estate agents and what was the quality of the work that was being done in there. So the good news is that 66% of agents that we surveyed as part of this survey said that the leadership in their business was good or excellent. 21% said good, 45% said excellent. So it's not a bad number. But let's unpack that a bit. 82% though, we asked the principals in our survey, how qualified do you feel to lead? Do you feel like that you've got, you know, everyone can always learn a little bit more and there's no one's pretending about that, but how qualified do you feel? How comfortable do you feel in leadership? How well do you think you're doing? And 82% said that, you know, absolutely, complete, I've got it nailed, I think I'm doing a great job. But I don't know about you guys, so 82% is a higher number than 66%, would we agree? So what this tells us is that 16% of the principals that we were talking to are a bit deluded about what good leadership is, because if only 66% of the industry are saying, I'm really well led, but 82% of leaders are saying, I'm a great leader, there's a disconnect there. And so what most of the stuff we're going to go into now is looking at where are the areas where we might be a little bit deluded, and what the takeouts for us individually are, not to beat up everybody about this is terrible, that's terrible, but we're going to go through a whole pile of leadership insights and behaviours. And what I want you to think about as we go through each of them is, how do I feel irate on that? Is this a behaviour that maybe I need to work on, or is this a discipline that I need to work on? So ideally at the end of this presentation, you'll have kind of a list of things, or even if it's just your top three things that make you feel the most uncomfortable that you could work on. Financial performance is a leadership goal too, because what we found is that when we overlaid, as part of one of the questions we asked was, well, how financially successful is your business at the moment? Are you going backwards in revenue? Are you flat? Are you up 10%, or are you up more than 10%? And again, if you look at the difference in the numbers between the businesses who were performing strongly, which is 44% were up to 10%, 27% were plus 10% growth. So 71% said that they were financially profitable, but 82% said that they had the leadership thing nailed. So 11% of leaders were saying, I'm a great leader, even though we're not financially successful at the moment. And there's a bit of a disconnect there too, because financial performance is a key element of leadership. You don't get to choose as a leader what bits you don't want to do. You might choose to delegate them, but you still need to understand how important they are. So here's who we surveyed. This is just a little bit of housekeeping. So 18% of our survey respondents were from management inside major franchises or boutiques. 27% of them were principals, 49% were sales agents, and 6% were property and managers and admin and marketing. So we broke them into two groups. We had our leaders and then we had our followers, and we compared the data from both sets of people to see how consistent the industry is around its leadership messages. And what we see from a snapshot of the industry shows us basically that these two groups of people are really quite different. So principals have been 72% have been in the industry for 10 or more years, 76% are over 50, only a small percentage are under 40. Sales agents, however, are likely to be more spread out in the age groups that they're in, and this includes property managers as well, whereas 33% have been in the industry for less than 10 years, more than 10 years, 48% have been less than 5 years. So just to give an insight into how the different groups feel and behave. And what we found in the data is that 31% of the principals that we surveyed had no formal training. There's nothing wrong with this, because what we did as part of the survey is we overlaid it against Australia's largest leadership survey for the last 20 years, which was called the Survey of Australian Leadership, surprisingly, which was done by Melbourne University. And so what we find in that survey is actually that the way that the real estate industry is behaving is very consistent with other Australian industries, and it's very consistent with the age and the demographics that we just saw in those principles. So most of Australia's businesses are led by white middle-aged men who have been in the industry for a rather long time and probably do not necessarily have, and the majority of them still only have high school certificate leadership training, or there's a significant proportion. So real estate is really kind of in alignment with that general behaviour. But what we did find out, though, as part of this, is that how much formal training you did before you became a principal or now that you're a principal is not as important, or formal education is not as important as your attitude to education and your attitude to learning more and always being curious and inspired about your business. So they're the most important things that can determine how successful you are as a leader, more than whether you've done an MBA or been to uni. We broke leadership down into six different types from the Student Guide to Leadership, which is a really well-known book around how leaders behave. So there's six styles. There's coercive, which is the kind of military, I say jump, you say how high. Then we have the authoritative approach, which is more about come with me, I want everyone on the bus is heading this way kind of thinking. Affiliative is lots of emphasis on we're a team, you know, we all have to kind of pull together. I really want everyone to be working and supporting each other. Democratic is everyone has a say, we'll decide what, you know, the group will behave in the way that the group agrees is the best way forward. Pace setting, Graham Mirabito, former CEO of CoreLogic, very pace setting leader, sets the standards, you know, this is what we're going to do, run everybody. You have to be really highly motivated and you get really pushed to excel. Coaching is a leader who basically takes time and spends a lot of time individually building up everyone's individual skill sets. We identified these six leadership traits or styles, and we asked everybody across the survey, which category do you think your leader falls into? And there's nothing wrong with any of these leadership styles. There's pros and cons to each of them. But the key part of the finding is you need to know your own style. And sometimes a different style might work better for a different situation. So if you can understand what these styles are and you can understand what their strengths are and their weaknesses are, you can pull them out as a tool when you're leading people, you know, based on the circumstance. So you can see there. So the most common style was affiliative, followed by authoritative. Only 10% felt that they were bossy, and 16% of the industry said, no, my boss is coaching, or, you know, I'm a coaching style boss. But then we asked our principals what they thought. Now, we found out when we overlaid the financial stuff, we found that the businesses who were experiencing higher than regular growth, so over 10%, the most common form of leadership style that they were using was affiliative. So there's something to be said in an affiliative style for achieving high performance in real estate. It doesn't mean it's perfect, but it just means that that's how the data broke down. And what we then did is that we asked our principals, well, what do you think your leadership style is? And this is what we found. 32% said that they were really affiliative, that, you know, they put lots of emphasis on team building. And so what I want you guys to look at here is the difference between what principals thought, again, versus what their staff thought about how they were performing. 27% said they were coaching. I spend heaps of time with my team. I really look out for them. I really try and get the best out of them on an individual level. I mean, that's an 11% difference. That's quite significant. And then no one said that they were coercive. So this is what the takeout from this as a piece of research is that you really need to know yourself, and that you really need to know what your leadership style is, and you really need to know whether that leadership style is actually in alignment with how your staff see you. Self-awareness is one of the most important things you can have as a leader. So we also identified six practices of great leadership. So a great leader is able to envision what's going on. These all start with E, by the way. So being able to express your purpose and your goal for your team. Being able to engage with them, so motivating and really connecting your people to, and especially connecting them towards those purposes and goals. Embodying, walking the talk of your values, standards and ethics, so not saying one thing and doing another, saying one thing and being that thing. And empowering, so getting rid of obstacles and letting potential shine. So if in your business you have regular pain points that are affecting performance in your business, being committed to little projects that help get them out the way and make people be efficient and turn up to work and do good work. Evaluating, so taking stock of your results and how you're feeling. And then encouraging, so helping your people and yourself to keep going. And I guess on those two last things, evaluating, so taking stock of your results, making time in your week or in your month or your fortnight, however you want to run it, to both check in on what your financials are saying, what your measurements are saying, what your reporting is saying about how your business is performing, but then also about how you feel about that. Like, are you feeling strengthened by it? Are you feeling debilitated by it? Like, what's the mood that's coming out around that? And does that need management as much as the numbers need management? And encouraging, so really helping your people and also recognising your own efficacy and keeping going. So this is how we're showing up for our teams. So basically, these numbers are really good. These are close to, these are sort of up to sort of 2 out of 3 leaders are doing these things. So they're living and breathing their core values in our industry. And we're leading by example, where 69% are being authentic and 56% are really good leaders, are good listeners. So what we're finding from this is that basically these behaviours around socialising and talking and chatting to people and being our best selves in front of people are all pretty good traits inside real estate. 2 out of 3 of us will do it. And this is what our teams, what teams think of our leadership skills. So 67% of people said that the vision and strategy of their boss was really clear and strong. 68% said he or she was great at making time. But this is where it starts to fall off. Work-life balance. Actually looking after themselves, looking after their team, making sure things are in balance, 50%. And admin and management is only 53%. So we see ourselves as inspiring leaders and we're great at talking the great talk, but when it comes to doing what has to be done and managing and actually having disciplines and processes in place around some of the stuff we don't like doing, this is where we start to fall down. And only 1 in 2 of us is good at that. And how good are we at empowering our team? So we're not bad. Like, we're a little bit hot and cold on it. So again, if you look at what the themes are inside this behaviour, the theme is that if you can turn up to a weekly meeting and have a chat or have a coffee with the boss, that's it. That's the definition of leadership. But if it actually requires kind of a bit of spending around money or resource or actually some effort around the process, that's where we start to fall off. So when we look at all of these skills that we either do or don't have in the industry, they kind of break down into these two areas. We have good habits around our weekly meeting, around catching up together, around being open and available for our teams, but we don't have good scrutiny and we don't necessarily have good management discipline around what we're doing. So we can see that everyone's sharing their results in a sales in a weekly meeting. 81% are having a weekly meeting, so I'm not kind of sure what that last sort of 20% or so are doing. 61% are using a whiteboard to record wins, which can be great, but it can also be a wall of shame if you've got people who are underperforming and you're not backing that up with, you know, one-on-one coaching or helping to get them there. 44% are attending annual awards. That's fantastic. But here's some really interesting numbers on what we're not doing as an industry. I don't know a single agent that doesn't tell me I'm worried about listings at the moment, unless you're from Perth. But listings are a huge issue in the industry at the moment. But only 1 in 3 of us are actually measuring conversion rates. How many people did we see? How many of those appointments did we actually list? And then what are the conversations that need to happen with us as a team around around improving that rate? Same thing for property management. So how many people did we meet or how many proposals did we put out there? What's our conversion? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What do we need to tweak in as part of this process? Measuring our prospecting activity. So if agents aren't actually winning any listings or what's the level of activity they're doing around prospecting? Is that good? Is that bad? Is that indifferent? Or are we just saying to agents who complain about not having enough leads, we'll just go out and do a letterbox drop? Is that really the best way to achieve the results at the moment? And for property management too. And only about a third of us have a performance appraisal. So no one has sat down and identified ways that you personally can achieve better results and then also what your career structure might look like inside the business. So when it comes to leadership, here's what we're great at doing. We're great at free people engagement and conversations to fit existing routines. We're okay at doing things that cost money, training or conferences, or that require consistency. We'll do it if we think there's enough money in the bank account or we think there's enough money. My point to you would be there should be enough money in your P&L and your cash flow, not just in your bank account. If you're running your business by your bank account, that's a bad thing to do. And only around a third of us are really disciplined and committed to good leadership practices. And especially if there's a risk that makes us feel uncomfortable. And here's the thing about leadership, it does. It regularly challenges you quite significantly and makes you deal with a whole heap of stuff about yourself that you don't want to deal with, let alone everyone else's shit in your office. So leadership's not just about anecdotes. It can be helpful, but it's not just about hearing the latest story of rock star performances at ARIC or being inspired by individuals. It's actually about hearing those stories, but then understanding, well, what is that telling me about where I need to do the work? And our businesses always break down into these kind of three core elements. There's your team culture and your HR practices. There's your business discipline and management around your P&L, around your accounting, around your numbers. And then there's your personal why and your self-motivation. So do you need to do the work on yourself? Do you need to do the work on how you're building your team? Or do you need to do the work on your business discipline? So what should you be doing? You need to get real, make sure your team agrees with you on your strengths as a leader. You need to get disciplined. You need to identify your weaknesses and set structures and practices to strengthen your leadership muscle. So you don't have to be great at everything, but you have to know what you're weak at. And then you have to hire people in and empower them to really support what you're weaker at and understand why you've got them there. So if they start to challenge you on things, they're doing things that make you feel uncomfortable, you know, kind of own that and work out that this is actually part of the discipline. And you need to demonstrate alignment. So show your team how daily and weekly practices create the business results that you all want. Then you need to kind of explain to your team why you're going to be doing that and how that's going to help them achieve the results that they want to achieve, which is usually what we all want to achieve is, you know, what's our why? It's always around wanting to earn the money for our families that allows us to have the lifestyle that we all really want. And we want to turn up to work and be motivated, and we want to turn up to work and feel like it's not really work, but actually, you know, kick goals and get stuff done. And demonstrate commitment. So it's not something you can do once or twice and then sort of figure, oh yeah, I've done that for the quarter, I'm good. You really have to keep practicing and keep doing it, not give up after a couple of weeks. So that's it on the coaching side. What we might do now is just have a really quick chat around that report and what's in it and what you should be looking at and what it tells you, and then sort of apply it to some of the leadership stuff. A really good discipline around data or any reporting is not to try and memorise stuff or worry about it. What you're looking for, what you need to do with data is look at it regularly, make notes of what changes. So in data, we call it, what's the delta? So why has it, and so what you're looking for is, I've looked at this for 3 months in a row now, or I've looked at this for 3 weeks in a row, and suddenly this number's behaving differently. What's the story behind this number? So data's always there to tell you a story, not to try and freak you out in any sort of nasty math stuff. So the story that this data is telling you is based on CoreLogic's data capture, and I'll go through some of the upsides and downsides of that in a minute, but what is your local market doing? So this is a report based on postcode. Just trying to understand, well, how much property have we seen sold in the market, and therefore what's the commission available in the market? How many new listings have we seen in the market? And then what are the top agencies by sale, and what are the top agencies by the number of new listings? Now, I'm going to draw your attention to, there's a section on the report at the bottom that says agency name withheld. So CoreLogic captures our data from about 650 different sources. So we capture the sales from realestate.com and the listings from realestate.com. We have feeds coming in from each of the franchises. You know, our guys are on the phone every Saturday ringing you to find out how your auction results went. And we are the single biggest buyer of data from government agencies around the country. But here's the thing, the government doesn't care who sold a property. Realestate.com does, the franchise groups do, you guys do, but the agent doesn't. So any sale that we have to see reported through our system that has come through a settled sale from the government won't have an agent name next to it unless we can match it some way. I'd also encourage you guys to think about, how do you write your business name? So, you know, are you L.J.Hooker, Balgala, or are you L.J. or you L.J. Hooker Balgala, or you LJ Hooker, you know, Balgala and Northern Beaches? Most of us, even inside our businesses, the girl who works on Saturday will spell the name or write the name differently to the person who works on admin and books the ads on a Wednesday. So even inside our own businesses, if we struggle to have the names consistent, that makes it more difficult for us to match. And that's basically saying, we know that property sold in this market, but we couldn't match them to an agent name. And you'll see inside your report too, there's a little bit of noise in it, in terms of what we would call data noise. So there might be, like, if you are quite commonly spell your name or present your name in multiple ways. So I can see in this one, there might be like a Ray White, and then there might be a Ray White suburb, and then there might be a McGrath. And I see it's in some of the ones that I was quickly scanning. You might think, hang on, that's the same agency in this market. Yes, it probably is. And so you need to join those numbers up and then change how the filtering goes down. But what you're looking at in the number of sales is prior is the prior year, so how much market share we saw that that name had assigned to it in the prior year versus number in the current year. And then the listings number again, what we saw in the prior year versus the current year. So in this data, you can see, is my agency doing better or worse than it was doing last year? And how are my competitors going to what they were doing this time last year? If you're doing well, that's great compared to last year. The question then is, well, how much has your market grown over the past 12 months? So are you rising because are you going up because the water's going up in the bathtub, or are you going up because of the effort that you're putting into it? So what you're trying to work out from understanding this report is, are we going up because the market's going up, or are we going up because of the work that we're doing to try and improve our position? There's some other interesting things that you can see in this report. Very often, the order of agencies under the number of new listings is different to the order of or the ranking of agencies in the number of sales. When that is significant, or when that is sort of quite different, what that's telling you is that the agency that is doing better at listings and the agent, you might see that an agent is doing really well at listings, but that they might be number one at listings, but they're number two or three in terms of sales. Yeah. What that means is that agent's buying listings by basically saying, oh, we'll get that price. But then when it comes to selling stuff, they're not doing that well. And in fact, they're losing people when it comes to sale. Does that make sense? Yep. So you will be able to see behaviour, and you'll be able to actually start to see how much that is hurting them. And if it's you, you'll be able to see how much it's hurting you. And that sort of talks to why you would need some real conversations with your sale, with your agents. If your business is not in the top 10, this report will identify what number you come in at. So it'll tell you the top 10, and then it will also tell you your number. If you've chosen an area that isn't necessary, that we don't have a lot of sales down for you at the moment, you might not have come up at all. So a little bit of noise in this, but it's the vibe of it. It's not the constitution, as Dale Kerrigan said. So it's to kind of get a feel for, where do we sit? Are we doing better or worse than last year? Are we buying listings? Are we not buying listings? Are we going up because the water in the bathtub's going up, or are we going up because of our own effort? How much market is there out there that I should be looking to grab? What can I do? And therefore the question is, well, what can I do to start to grab? The next page basically is designed to kind of try and help you, if you're a principal, work out, if we wanted to expand this business, where should we go next, or where is and how is everyone performing? So what we find, well, what CoreLogic found when we first built this report out, was that most principals decide to expand their business into a new area for reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with how big that market is. It's usually, oh, there was a business for sale and we thought we'd buy it, or my son goes to school there and it's on the way, or, for reasons that are completely weird. But gut instinct based, and they've got nothing to do with actual data. So what this report does is it identifies the postcodes that are around your area, and then it identifies the top performers in those markets and how much market share they have. So you can work out, and it tries to put some numbers around how much money that market share is worth. So if you're thinking of expanding, or you're wondering whether you should put an agent into a particular area, you can actually see, well, if we go, is that the best place to send someone, or is it the best place for us to expand, or is it owned by a competitor who's really, really strong in that market? And in fact, if I move a postcode to the left rather than a postcode to the right, we might have a better opportunity of growing quite quickly in this space rather than that space. So this is all about sort of trying to help you capture and understand opportunity in adjacent markets. The next part of the report basically looks at your property management. So we identify how many rental dwellings there are in that market. So this can be really valuable if you're wanting to understand, well, how much in this postcode, what is a realistic number of listings, property managements I can expect to have in this postcode. It identifies how many of the dwellings we've been able to see were rented. And remember, this is all the stuff we were able to see it. It doesn't include off-market stuff. It doesn't include private rentals. It's only what we could physically see, but we reckon and we can see sort of around about 80 to 90% of the market in this space. So it's better than anything else that's out there. And then 12-month rental listings. So how many rental listings occurred over, properties went sort of onto on and off the market, annual rental turnover, and the total number of dwellings in the suburb, so you can start to align those up. So then we look at the annual rent roll market value, and then we also look at where your rentals rank. So you can see from the from that first page, we might be an amazingly strong sales agency, but in fact we can now see how good or bad an asset our property management is. If I'm number one or two as a sales agent, I should also be number one or two as a rental agent. If I'm not, as a principal, that's telling me I now need to put some more money or energy or effort into investing in my property management, that actually there's a huge asset here that I'm really wasting, because we should be monetising that sales performance. On the other hand, you might be using rentals to build up your sales performance and starting off sort of with a property management focus. That's a completely legitimate opportunity as well. So what we then do is we look at the difference between houses and units, and we kind of break down, well, what proportion of the rental market is falling into each of these categories. So you can see whether there's a great tool inside RP Data called Marketing Direct, which helps you identify properties that you can direct market to. So basically, using this one for Launceston, 3 to 4 bedroom houses are the most rented property inside this area, and most of them just have one bathroom. So if you can see properties like that are on the that are coming up for market in sale, you know that they're probably a good rental opportunity. So you can actually start to target people or target them through Marketing Direct. And again, same sort of thing as you see on that front page. It identifies who are the top 10 people in terms of property management inside this postcode, what's their market share now, what's their market share 12 months ago, and you can see if they're going up or down, and that might be because the market's going up or down, or is it because of their own efforts. Again, you can see what the how people are changing around. What the next page then looks at is, this page was actually created predominantly to help principals understand who the top performers were in the market, and to understand who individuals were. Now, again, it comes up in two ways. It'll either identify the agent or it'll identify the agency. So ideally, we would love this to have lots of agent names in it, but because agent names are not always included as part of the sales documents, we don't always see that. So we identify the kind of key performers in this space and how much we reckon they've sold. There's always a bit of a lag in this data coming through. And again, it's about 80% of the market usually that we're showing. So they won't marry exactly with the numbers inside your system. But again, this is about the kind of trend and the vibe of it, as opposed to whether that number is actually accurate. Data can be enormously helpful without being 100% accurate. So don't get hung up on, does it all add up to 100%? It's more like, I've looked at this month, I looked at it last month, I'm looking at it next month, what am I seeing the behaviour is doing inside this, and does that tie in with the numbers that I see in my business? And that's it. So this report comes out once a month. We recommend that, and it comes up in your email as part of the delivery mechanism. We did that because it's based off another product we have called Market Scorecard, which is a really amazingly detailed program. It's also was designed by engineers for data analysts. So if you've got a pivot table for a brain, it's really fabulous for most normal real estate agents and people like myself. You like something a little bit more visual that's easy to understand, not requiring you to sort of go into things. And the idea of having it delivered to you once a month, so it turns up in your inbox, gives you a prompt, right, need to look at that now, see how it compares to last month, think about what that means to the business, and it kind of creates a time in your month to sit back and reflect on it.
Okay then, that's it for this week. If you wish to download Kylie's slides from this presentation, they can be located at eliteagent.com.au/leadershipsurvey17. I'm Samantha McLean. Catch you guys again soon for some more insights from our Transform Master Series. To keep up with all the gang, of course, and all the latest information and videos, visit eliteagent.com.au/transform.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent, with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.